today, all about the letter G. We're going to be diagnosing
gayness.
Hey, everybody. I'm here with my friend, Henrik Vandersmit. We are college buddies.
We are college buddies.
It's weird to think of you as like a college friend. We met during college.
In the dorms.
Like,
we were dorm roommates.
We were dorm roommates.
That was fun, dude.
Bro, I'm so... I'm not going to bad talk anybody. I don't believe in that. I'm not that guy. The roommate I had before Henrik was awful. This man... I don't even say his name because he will never listen to this. He'll never even hear about this.
Nope.
He was this guy, and he had this really kind of abusive relationship with his girlfriend, I would say. Like, maybe not like really bad abusive. Henrik's losing it. Okay, all I'm saying is girls would come in the room that weren't his girlfriend, and then one time his girlfriend showed up, and they always argue, and I didn't know the difference between his girlfriend and other girls because he always had girls in the room. And you can be friends with girls. I don't think that's what was going on, granted. Oh, man, you look uncomfortable. Are you uncomfortable?
No. At first I was thinking like, oh, shit, like, yeah, I don't think he'll ever listen to it. But saying, yeah, he had an abusive relationship in college, I'm like,
They may have broken up by now because it was really bad.
Oh, like, I'm sure they have.
Okay, what do you call it? If it's not an abusive relationship, anything is abuse, by the way. Like, any small thing is abuse.
I guess you could be like, they did fight a lot.
They were on the phone. She lived elsewhere, and he moved from elsewhere. Yeah, I'm not going to say, but she... would call him every day, and they would talk on FaceTime, which is louder than normal volume, by the way. I don't know if you know that. FaceTime volume is like way louder than phone call, speaker phone volume.
I didn't know that.
I believe that it's, I mean, at least his phone was like that because, you know, I heard every bit of it. I had my earphones in. I was blasting music. Could hear every bit of it. And he would like yell at her on the phone, and she would yell right back. It was not a healthy, it was a toxic relationship. Maybe not abusive.
That's fair.
Maybe a more toxic situation because they were both, you know, they were both contributing. I'm sure she was cheating on him too. Maybe not. Anyway, I've dominated this
podcast. Conjecture.
That's slander. I'm going to get thrown in jail for that.
Well, do you have a list that you had in mind or...
Yeah, I have stuff to talk about. Just like a mental thing.
I wasn't
sure
if you had a list.
I did want to talk to you about this. How do you feel about horses? What's your deal with horses?
I've never ridden a horse. One thing I've thought about, I used to be into archery for a bit at summer camp.
Archery?
Just for like a month. Really liked archery. I feel like shooting a bow from a horse would be something I'd like to do one day just because I have, you know.
It's magic. It's like a Disney thing.
FU money. Like, I want to go to equestrian club and be like, do you have a bow and a horse? Please. Right now.
It's very medieval, isn't it? It's like a...
I think it seems cool.
Yeah.
But I'd love to ride a horse.
I get the image of like Lord of the Rings where they're just like Legolas is on top of the thing and shooting. I had this... Normally I would never think about it deeply, but I was walking my dog this morning, and we live near horses. Basically,
it's nice.
They're very pretty animals.
Majestic's
a great word. It's a $10 word for you. Maybe not. People know majestic. That's not a $10 word. It's a $4. It's a dollar menu word.
Moving on.
So I live kind of sandwiched, like I'm at this one part of the road, but if you walk down a little bit and then turn, there's like two horse farms on separate sides of the road. So you really are kind of sandwiched by horses. The horse on the left are more like get free rein of their property. I think the other ones just kind of stay in their own little zone elsewhere. But I was walking the dog, and this horse walked up to the fence, and my dog's kind of skittish. So it wasn't really barking. It was more just like kind of observing, you know. It's kind of like,
was it walking up to you?
I mean,
did it see you? I was like aware of you.
Yeah, it was nuts. Like it was, and I should say it's nuts. Like there was a fence in between us, but this horse like made eye contact with me and just was like walking up to me. And have you ever seen a horse's eyeball?
Oh, they're big.
They're big, and they have like human eyelashes.
They're big animals. They're really interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't ride one because I'm overweight, obviously. But you know, break its back, but. We had this connection. It was so bizarre. And I know it sounds like horse girl talk. I get it though.
Oh man, horse girl.
Dude, horse girls are so...
I got a horse girl story.
Let me finish up this and we'll get to the horse girl. But I don't know. I made eye contact with this horse and I was like, you know something I don't, horse. What do you know that I don't know? And then like, I stared at the horse for like probably a minute straight, just like making eye contact with, and the horse was just cool with it. He wasn't awkward or uncomfortable.
Hanging out.
He was just, I'm sure he wanted some like hay or like apples or whatever if I had treats for it. But I took it in like this way of like, oh my God, he knows something that I don't. And then I was coming to your house to record this episode of the podcast, and I got out to fill up my gas at a gas station. That was the worst way to say that. I went to a gas station to get gas. I got out and put gas in, whatever. Did the card, and I'm describing everything in detail.
You are.
So you know I really did this. The pump next to mine, so like on the other side of my pump, was a horse in a trailer. And by God, I made eye contact with that horse too. And we had this same connection as the other horse.
Same horse.
No, it was not the same horse. But the first horse was like a blonde, yellowish color. This one was like a brown type, maybe even like a spotted horse. It was in like a cage, like a horse trailer, so I couldn't see. But it was like, I was like, oh my God, this is the second horse I've made eye contact with today.
Today is the day.
It's a horse day.
It's a good day.
It's a good day, ultimately. And on the way over, I also heard Old Town Road. And
wow,
you know, that song is...
That's the trifecta. Two horses, one song.
two horses,
what
one
does it
song.
Mean, Will?
I don't know. But horses are cool. They're very interesting. I just had this weird...
As soon as you mentioned horses and like riding a horse, I thought it was a fun little fact. I've ridden an ostrich before.
Oh, really?
It turns out you can ride them. I mean, obviously you have to be like kind of young and small, but you just hang onto their wings. And I had a guy, like the worker that was running behind me, kind of holding me up a little bit. Like, I don't know if the ostrich is that strong, but yeah, they ran me around a track on this ostrich. You just hang on. They have really like big wings. And you just kind of hang on. They put they hold a bag over its head to keep it calm. And then when they take the bag off, it can see where it's going. So it starts to running and just runs around this track. And that's...
They keep it blinded until they can...
Yeah. You know what's weird? They were completely okay with it. Once they have the bag on, they're calm. They're okay. It's okay. But yeah, it was an ostrich farm. I got to...
So you're from South Africa. I should have mentioned that too. Is this in South Africa?
It was.
Okay. That makes more sense.
It does make sense.
It's like if you're from Australia, you're like, yeah, I rode around on a kangaroo. Oh, in like Nevada? Where'd you like?
No, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know if there's ostrich farms here.
I've seen ostriches or emus maybe. There's emus at the Gunnersville State Park and they're awesome. And they're with like these donkeys.
Really ugly. They're
very
ugly
animals. But they're so cool. It's dinosaur-esque, isn't it?
You look at their eyes and you also know something. You sense things differently.
No. I look at those and I'm thinking like, you're going to kill me. You're going to hurt me. You're going to peck my eyeballs.
Are you hungry?
They have like it's maybe not evilness, but there's like something happening.
I like the term like the dinosaur-esque vibe going on.
Completely. Definitely.
So my girlfriend has a bearded dragon.
Epic.
There have been so many times I've realized time is a weird concept. To us, we understand time.
Do we though?
Oh, I think so. To a better extent than that bearded dragon. His name is Blaze. Okay, he's a good pet.
I love Blaze,
he's
actually.
Cute. There's been some time I sat and just watched him for 10 minutes and he doesn't even blink. He'll look at me and I'm thinking, what are you doing? And then other times, like, we'll feed him food. And sometimes he'll look at his food for minutes. He'll just wait. It's right in front of him. And I realized he's in no hurry to eat that. He doesn't have anything else to do. That's his whole day. I mean, we let him out. So he goes around the apartment. He has his favorite spots, which, interesting, because he knows the apartment well enough to where...
You would think he wouldn't, because if he's just thinking about, like, you know, this is my food, I'm just going to, it's whatever, I'll just, and it's like pellets, it's not like crickets or anything.
Well, we do get him crickets sometimes.
Does he look at the crickets the same way, or is it more
like
a predator?
Oh, he hunts those things.
Isn't
cool to see.
Yeah.
He really enjoys, like, he'll eat, like, the first 5 or 6 pretty quickly, and then he'll just sit stationary, he'll wait for them to walk right in front of his mouth and just, like, lick them. And it's pretty
crickets, too. Crickets have, like, a lesser... grass, I would say probably like a lesser grass on things than like even the
I think so.
Dragon
I don't think they realize that he's there because they'll walk on him or they walk right in front. I don't know what a cricket sees. You know, it's not.
Imagine having that what do they even perceive? They can't perceive anything. They don't have brains. They're just little. I mean, they have brains, but
they're just tiny machines that just do very very limited functions.
They're machines. They're just like automated.
Same as us, but we're just way more complex. We can think.
We're like AI. We're like Google.
Well, we
like
learn.
Google
yeah.
searching.
No, we learn. Yeah, it's true. AI is like us. Ooh.
Ooh. Bah, bah. Speaking of horse girls, let me go back to that. Did you know how many horse girls were in your was it just one horse girl?
Yeah, I have just one horse girl.
I think that everyone at least had one. I knew I was talking to somebody at one point and they said they had at least 3 or 4. It was like a horse club and like a whole like club of horse girls. But I thought like there must be some sort of ratio of like normal kids to horse girls. And like I went to a small high school, right? So like in 83 people, there was at least 1 or 2 horse girls. And then, you know, probably one, I can think of one horse girl. But then like a bigger school, like a massive 7A school or whatever, there might be like a ratio of like, I don't know, every 100 kids, there's one horse girl or something like that.
I think it depends more on where you are in the country. Because if you are in inner city Chicago, I don't think there's a whole lot of horse people. If you grow up in like a little Greenville, Ohio, there's a fair number of horse people. It's just it's corn land. It's nice.
Horses are great, wouldn't you say?
They're cool. I don't know if I would want a horse. I'd want to go ride a horse, like have a day at a horse farm.
They're kind of a lot. They're not like a dog.
I wouldn't. That's what I mean. Like,
you need like an area. You need like a farm.
Oh yeah, you need a farm. You can't just have the horse.
Even people I know that have horses now, like, leave them at a farm just so they can, like, come and ride
them.
Like,
they board them? Yeah. That makes sense. Again, a lot of works, it kind of makes sense to bring them all to where we'll have one person that just watches all your horses, and you just pay them, and they can deal with it.
It's almost like a boat. Like, you don't keep your boat at your house. Point. There's no water at your house. You just, unless you live on a boat.
You could live on a boat.
Would you ever live on a boat?
Maybe for, like, a short time. I think I would. I'd at least want to try it to be able to say whether I like it or not. So I'm not positive.
I don't know who told me this, but someone was telling me that they had a friend or knew someone, or maybe was related to somebody that maybe was related to somebody that could do or that lived in a boat. And like, I think they came home one night and they were like maybe drunk or like they were in, you know, maybe just tired or whatever. They came home and like their house was flooding. Like there was a hole in their boathouse.
And it was sinking?
It wasn't sinking, but there was like water was.
Getting in somehow?
I guess technically sinking.
I would think sinking because.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're in the water.
It's floating and then it's not floating anymore. It's you're below sea level now.
I don't think it was sinking quite yet, but the water was coming in. Right. So he had to like act fast and like he was drunk or intoxicated or whatever. And he was like trying to plug the hole. It was just like this whole thing.
Yeah, it sounds uncomfortable.
I wouldn't want that. That's like you don't ever have like there's not. There's not a chance that your house could sink, right? I mean, unless you live on like a sandy area, maybe like a quick sandy area.
In any normal circumstance, probably no. But I imagine houseboats, obviously, you're on water, so you kind of have to worry about
dangerous.
The floating.
Also, sharks.
I don't know how many houseboats are on the ocean.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Salt is so corrosive. I imagine that plays a big role. Sharknado.
Sharks. Here's the day. Here's the stuff that could go wrong with your house. Sinking, sharks, manta rays,
water,
octopuses. Yeah. Octopuses are kind of scary.
They are. I've never eaten octopus. It's calamari, right? Is that what it's called?
It's really good.
Never had it.
I feel bad because I know they're very intelligent. Like I wouldn't.
I'm gonna kill you now. just whisper to it.
It's fried. So like anything fried is good, right? Like I've had fried crickets.
Just about.
Speaking of crickets, I've had fried. Have you ever had like bugs? You eaten bugs?
No, I have. Seen what are they called? Popsicles that have like insects in them.
Yeah, yeah. There's like the
never
suckers.
Got it. I thought it looked gross.
Well, crickets are different. Crickets are just like a little Tic Tac or something.
A little protein. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they don't taste great, but if you fry them and obviously salt and pepper and whatever season them. Yeah,
and
so
I know growing crickets is super like space friendly, so you can grow a lot of crickets and make a lot of nutrients in a very small space because crickets, but also, they're also kind of gross for the majority of people, I guess.
Yeah.
I look at them. I wouldn't eat them, for instance. I'd rather have a burger, but then obviously to grow a cow, you need like an acre.
How much, I mean, what's the protein ratio to crickets to cow? Like there's got to be.
That's not what I meant, like with how much you can get out of it per acre. For instance, if you use a whole acre to grow crickets, I think you can grow way, way, way more crickets worth of protein than you could one cow, for instance, on that same acre because it eats the grass. And
I'm not convinced. How many crickets could you, like, obviously you would need several crickets, like, to make up the same. There was a video I watched about The Lion King that was talking about, like, how many bugs a lion would need to eat to sustain its diet.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, we're not really lions. We can eat other stuff, like plants or vegetables, whatever. But it was like some crazy amount of, you know, like they need a lot of, they first of all, they need a lot of like food in general because they're such a big animal and they have such a big appetite and whatever. But, you know, it, like bugs just don't seem like they're, I mean, I guess they are kind of protein-esque, like they're protein enough, but yeah, we would need to eat like
Tic Tacs.
Like 50 crickets, right? Like,
well, yeah, I agree. All I'm saying is that the land it takes to grow the crickets, I'm assuming would be less, but I'm not really trying to make a stand on that at all. I'm assuming that
it's interesting to think about.
Well, and then you think about conservation and how people are saying, you know, Maybe that's why some people go vegan or vegetarian, is they just, maybe just cut out meat because they know it is harmful for the environment on a large scale because, sure, you know, cows, methane, all that kind of stuff. But,
well, not even that. Like, they're kind of treated harshly too. I think that's where a lot of vegan stuff comes in. Like, they don't
I
want
would
want
to grow. I would be willing to live on a farm and have my own farm animals. I think I would enjoy that.
I would
extent.
Too. It's a good, like, me and you are not doers. We're idea makers. We're thinkers. We are not doers.
So right.
You know that too, and I know that just as well as you. I'm so lazy. I would never want to work on a farm, like, just because I know myself. But I do like the idea. I've watched several TV shows. There was something I watched recently. Maybe it was a documentary actually, but it was about this couple, and they had a dog in their apartment, and they got kicked out of the apartment because the dog kept barking. So they went to this farm, and it kept building up. Like, they wanted to just live on a farm and, you know, grow vegetables or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they bought this land in California, I think, that just had like no nutritional dirt. Like, the dirt was just barren.
Okay.
And so they planted like the smallest crop, and then they got like sheep, or I think it was sheep. They brought in sheep to eat the grass, to poo on the dirt, to get the nutrients. This whole like year process. It was like a year or two. It was several years actually before they actually got like a working farm where they could make stuff. And it was really interesting. They like had, like, instead of fertilizers and stuff like that, they had pests obviously, but they just introduced like chickens to eat the bugs.
Yep, makes sense.
Super smart. And then they had like gophers that would come, so they got a bunch of owls, and the owls would eat the gophers, and then like some snakes moved in too and just ate the whatever.
Nature is healing,
right? I mean, it was fascinating. And like they had several different dogs, and then like the biggest controversy they ever had was, well, I think it ended with the California wildfires. So like, obviously that's,
you mean their farm ended with the fires? Oh no.
A lot of their farm caught on fire.
That was abrupt.
The big controversy they had was like, there was coyotes eating their chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I think he got a gun and was like shooting at the coyote basically. But he ended up like repurposing the coyotes to eat the gophers too. Like, I don't know how, I don't remember how exactly he got them to do that or whatever, but he just got dogs to keep the, he got dog like domesticated dogs to keep the wool, like the coyotes away from the chickens. And then like they had to find food somewhere, so they would eat the gophers. It was fascinating. But I would never want to wake up at 5 and milk cows and crap like
that's
that.
That's fair. My dad grew up on a farm, and so he always talks fondly about it. I mean, yes, it probably sucks having to get up at 5, but I don't know, if you have to get up for something, I'm trying to figure out my...
Also, if it's your routine, like if you get up every day.
Yeah, if you make something a part of your life, whereas if you try to fight it, or if something's not important to you, like school, you might not want to get up for school, for instance. But I don't know, if you tell yourself you have to be at the airport, you know, at 6 a.m., right, you get up at 4 or whatever, and you go ahead and go because it's important enough. You can't just miss it.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I've slept in on stuff like that before, though. I remember as a freshman living with the toxic relationship guy. I had this paper due for history, and like, I don't know why, but like for some reason, it's just one of those things, like, I'm not that guy who like waits until like the very, very last second. I always like get it done, put it in, whatever. I like having time to go by so I can, like,
it's responsible.
Yeah. I mean, it feels better when I do stuff like that, but that was not English, what just came out. Anyway, I'm not that guy. Right. But for some reason I was like, he put such emphasis on this paper. Like, if you don't do good on this paper, like that's a third of your grade or something like that. Like, it's going to really drag you down if you don't do good. And so I was really like convinced it was bad or something like that. I was just like, I need more time. So he said, it's not due until 11 o'clock the next day, which normally it's like 12 the night before, but it was 11 a.m. like in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up at like 12, and I was just like, oh, I missed the thing. I missed the deadline. I didn't wake up in time to do my thing. And I don't know, like, nothing, you know, I always wake up early, especially like in those days. I would just like wake up and, but for some reason, it's just one of those like cosmic occurrences where like, oh, I messed up and I didn't turn the paper in time.
Accidents happen, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And you could probably miss a day of milking a cow, though. I mean,
you could just do it later, I imagine. Yeah. I don't think you have to do it at 5, you know, maybe 7. I don't know.
Do you need to milk the cow? Does the cow need to be milked?
I think you do need to milk cows. I don't really know for sure, but I imagine they can't go weeks without being milked, if my assumption's correct.
Like a cow in nature, does a cow... This is a question.
I think we've bred milk cows.
Okay, I was fixing to say.
At this point, we've bred them to the point where they do need to be milked.
Hmm.
Otherwise, I think it can maybe get like infection if they just don't ever release the milk, or they get like sore, maybe stuff like that.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Have a full bladder, not a bladder. What is it?
It's an udder.
You don't have a full udder. The udder, the thing. What do you? I don't know what that's called.
I guess it's a boob. It's a mammary gland, right?
Wow. Yeah, I think you're right, dude. I guess.
I mean, we think of mammaries as
a
like
cow milk. I love milk.
Let's not talk about what I was going to say. yeah, milk is good too, and milk is very like. I talked about this with I think Hunter. We were talking about how you eat milk or you drink milk with school lunch.
It's nutrient rich.
It's stupid. Why? Give me water. Water's so much like water's like clean. Milk makes you fat, especially if it's like full. I mean,
it is nutrient rich. Copious amounts of milk.
But they give you little cartons. It's not that much. I mean, to be fair,
I think the benefits outweigh the cost.
All I'm saying is that that's like a 50s holdover or something. Like they used to drink milk
from milk.
Yeah, they used to drink milk with everything.
I think milk is kind of timeless.
Okay, milk is timeless, but I'm just saying like milk with like pizza is weird. You can agree. Surely.
Yes, I would not pair milk and pizza.
Okay, well, they gave us pizza at lunchtime, right? And they gave us, like, chicken tenders and milk. Like, that's gross.
Oh,
you can agree.
Good,
you can agree
with change over to public schools, right?
You can agree with, but...
I agree. No, I think you're right. I had the luxury of making my own lunches.
I love how people blame Michelle Obama for bad school lunches, because... Ultimately, she was trying to be, you know, oh, we're going to do healthy lunches. Oh, and then they, do you remember we had these like whole grain donuts that were disgusting. Did you guys have those?
I was blessed, like I said,
okay,
to pack my own lunch. I didn't have to deal with school lunches very often.
That is true. We're kind of entitled.
I saw
to
they were
about,
nasty.
We're kind of entitled to be like, oh, the free food we got was awful. I guess it's not free, ultimately,
not.
But
yeah.
You know, the food that was provided to us.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Granted, comparatively, it's not as good as food you might make at your own home. So it's not to say that I won't eat it, but I don't prefer it, I guess. And I sometimes there was good meals sometimes.
Oh, sure. The spicy chicken sandwiches, for whatever reason, at my school were like the best spicy chicken sandwiches I've ever had. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I used to work at Chick-fil-A, so I ate a ton of spicy deluxe Chick-fil-A sandwiches. But
I could do some
really,
Chick-fil-A right now.
Yeah, bro.
I love Chick-fil-A. Not sponsored.
I would take a Chick-fil-A sponsor. But then I would get canceled by half of the...
Probably, that's true.
Yeah, so maybe not. I would do it. I don't... Whatever.
Chick-fil-A's delicious. If they would just give me a free sandwich or something.
Do you have the app downloaded, speaking of?
I don't. I don't visit that often.
Well, you don't have to because it builds rewards. So, like, you know... I don't think the rewards, like, go away. So, you can... You know, which whenever you go, you... scan the thing.
That's true. I should have the app.
But sometimes they'll just be like for your birthday, they'll be like, hey, happy birthday, here's a thing. Or like, you know, sometimes it's even like, oh, we're launching this new item, here's a free coupon for it. Yeah. Like, it's a good app.
No, I believe it. Speaking of birthdays, I'm going to Colorado for Larissa's birthday.
Oh.
You're looking forward to it.
That's interesting. Why Colorado? Colorado.
Now it feels like you're faking, Will. You're not being real with me now.
Why Colorado for real?
Really, because
snowy mountains or
snowy mountains, nice scenery, and I know a few of her friends have visited Colorado and so, or are going to visit Colorado. So I don't know. It's just been like, asked her where she wanted to go. I don't really know how we came up with Colorado, but I'm looking forward to it. It's very nature.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna be pretty. And turns out Denver and Boulder are not that far from each other. I always thought they were. I had no kind of geographical sense of Colorado.
Why would you? You've never been there?
Never been there.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Traveling is fun. I haven't really traveled as much as I want to travel. That's kind of something I've come down on. Me and Hunter James were talking about traveling just being like super important, and I think it is important, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's interesting to like get cultured and kind of see new locations and meet different people in different places. Like, I always think about like my journey to Florence, like the one time, like the one big move I've ever made. Like, that's kind of the most enriching thing I've done so far, because I've gotten to meet so many new people and getting new perspectives and new points of view, whatever. Yeah. I think traveling is great.
I agree. I would agree on like a general terms that it's good to travel. You can get new experience. I think therein lies the importance of it, is like new experiences. Mm-hmm. So if you just travel, you can blow all your money traveling and you might not really get anything from it. You might get a good time, but not learn anything maybe. I think in that case, it kind of depends where you go, maybe who you're traveling with and what your intentions are.
Yeah.
More importantly than just the traveling itself. But no, I agree. I look forward to traveling. I'd really like to travel.
Are you going to drive up there or fly?
Fly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a 10-hour drive or something.
Yeah, but you would get a lot of experience on the road, you know. Actually, no, really you wouldn't, because if you're just driving, that's like you're driving, so there's no...
I don't feel like there's any more experience. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong.
You would see a lot more stuff, but that's not really... I mean, you just see like highway or whatever.
That's true. I'm sure there could be some pretty pictures, but it's 10 hours of driving, and I really don't like sitting for that long. And that's the thing, driving up to Illinois, just around 10 hours or maybe 9, something around there, it's a long drive. It's not particularly fun. I don't want to do it. Whereas flying, granted, it's maybe... connections included, like a 5-hour flight,
but that's its own experience, right? Like I've never flown, so I don't know. Like if you listen to stand up, I feel like every stand up has a plane bit.
Probably,
like every stand up has like a plane bit or like a airport bit or like they, because that's what they always fly around. They always travel, so it's.
I have flown a good bit, and I like the utility of it. You can get somewhere really quickly, but I get so nauseous on planes.
Really?
Yeah, it's bad. But I found these. Like anti-nausea tablets that I've been taking the last time I flew, and it helped a lot. So
it's amazing we have anti-nausea tablets, right?
I'm grateful.
Think about people who used to go on like ships and stuff. Like, you know,
it would be awful. Yeah.
Well, ships. First of all, like it would take forever to get
like
somewhere.
3 months or something.
Yeah, bro. Okay, like from the UK to America, 3 months.
It's a long time.
Good Lord. We're so lucky we live now, right? I mean, we live in the best time ever.
That's true.
We live in the best time up to this point, basically.
Yeah, we live in the present. I mean, like lowest world poverty, lowest
death rate,
crime, lowest death, yeah, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a pretty good time to be alive.
It is a good time. I do love. I'm very thankful for where I live and the time I live in.
Do you care to talk about anything controversial, Will?
Like
I know
what?
You said you wanted to avoid controversy. I don't know. I just figured controversy is fun.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it gets things moving. Gets the blood pumping. You know?
I see what you mean, but what? Give me a topic. What do you talk about?
Could be anything.
I want to talk about schools with you because me and Hunter talked about schools, and I think he said that he wants more funding for public schools. I think he even said no private schools. I want to get the two of you together at some
that
point because
is what we need to do because I don't want you to. Give his position because I feel like it would be
give me your position I guess on schools
on
and
schools.
You told me one time your idea of like school vouchers.
Yeah, I like the idea of school choice and school vouchers.
Explain it. Tell me what it's about.
Well, for instance,
this isn't terribly controversial.
It's
by the
not.
Way.
It's. I don't think so.
It's just ideas.
It could
it's
be
just,
made controversial.
I mean, maybe.
But for instance, Alabama. We'll use Alabama's example. I don't know exactly. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but. They have a cost per student, I imagine, across the state. So there's like some average cost per student that each public school pays, taxpayer funded. And then school funding, I believe, comes from property taxes for the most part. And that's why you see like discrepancies in school quality, because if you have a very, very poor neighborhood with very low property values, and then you're taking taxes from that, which will be a smaller amount versus, you know, maybe a really nice neighborhood, the schools are going to be funded differently, so you might see different outcomes in school quality. So the voucher idea is that you essentially attach a voucher. So say that school funding is $10,000 per pupil per year. You maybe take 10% of that, turn it into a voucher, and then you give that you attach the voucher to the child, and so then you essentially give the parents the choice of. You can still use the voucher at the public school. You can use the voucher at any, call it acceptable school, and at any accepted school on whatever program it might be. And that way, that would include private schools, mind you. And that way, you could just increase competition because say there's a retired teacher who says, yeah, I can take on teaching 5 or 10 kids. And then they maybe know people in the community and say, yeah, I'll teach your kids. You can use your voucher. Maybe the voucher... covers maybe not all of it, but at least some of the school costs or tuition costs. And then essentially you just have more smaller schools as opposed to like locally run schools that, well, I say locally, more like essentially government run schools that maybe work on more mandates.
It's interesting because you get the choice.
Yeah.
I guess some people would say like, you know, that would be a big change. And it would be hard to implement something like that, like into the normal system, right? Like there's not a whole lot of small, just like you were talking about, like just tutors or like whatever, like someone on the street ultimately could get the money for a student. It's not really that simple though, is it? I mean, like,
I think the most difficult part would be actually getting it through to where public schools would get less funding. Because I think there's a lot of, you know, teachers unions, there's a lot of people with vested interest in the schools earning more money, because ultimately, like, even at UNA is a good example. The
North Alabama, for those who
are. University of North Alabama.
Yeah.
Their faculty, what am I saying? The number of teachers has not grown very much. The number of administrative staff has grown a lot.
Bro.
That money's being siphoned.
I worked at the registrar's office, right?
Yeah.
And I had a lot of friends in higher ed at UNA specifically. I know that a lot of the people, I shouldn't say this.
Say it, no.
A lot of the people in those positions are not qualified to be in those positions, first of all. Second of all, they are doing a terrible job for the most part. If you try to move something around or get something done, it like takes forever.
You just become part of the glob
what I took away from it was like power can corrupt. Even the smallest, tiniest amount of power over other people can corrupt such a person. Like, it's so bizarre to me that like a college like UNA, North Alabama, probably like one of the most, literally like one of the most underfunded schools in the state. The fact that it can like slow the process down and ultimately make it a worse experience for the students, and the students won't be able to learn as good because it's taking forever to get something pushed through. It's a bad time, basically.
I agree. So I think you're talking on two big topics here are essentially like bureaucracy and then monopoly. So if you are the only, if Walmart was the only seller in town, they could say, we don't care how you feel. You don't have any other options. You're going to buy from us at whatever price we choose, etc.
They kind of do that though, don't they?
Walmart?
Yeah. Have you ever talked to a Walmart employee? They don't care.
Oh, I'm sure they don't care, but you can go to Target is one of my, my.
Oh, sure.
Whereas if you.
Bro, Target employees are so sweet.
I really like Publix a lot.
Publix employees are actually way sweeter than Target or Walmart employees.
I think it's because it's
Their whole thing. They're run, service like services.
It's more expensive, but I think you. I mean, granted, and you get to choose. You,
right.
the consumer, get to choose where you want to shop. Why don't you get to choose where you shop for your school?
That's a good point.
Because the government says, sorry, no, you have to go here. You have to. Your taxes are going to this one.
It's all done with like a good positive intention though, right? Like, okay, you know, we want kids to be educated, right? That's the ultimate focus. So it's from a place of love, from a place of science and education. I said science. I don't know why. It's from a good
place. Follow the science.
It's from a good place, ultimately.
I imagine most people have good intentions, but that famous little saying, like, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Right.
I believe, I imagine the school board superintendent or the person who goes to Washington to advocate for more school funding, they might be legitimately sincere in wanting to help kids get better and help education. But I think the means need to be analyzed, really. Like, what are you doing? Ultimately, what I see is you're hurting competition by saying we're not allowing public schools, for instance.
Yeah.
We're not allowing private schools because public schools need more funding. But they've been getting more funding. I imagine they've had funding increases over many decades now.
It's probably more expensive to teach kids now, too, right? I mean, like with like technology costs and
we
stuff
could
like that.
Look at how much it costs to a private school to teach.
That's a good point. I like the idea. I mean, it's obviously there's probably problems I haven't worked out yet. Practice is
so
different than
I imagine whatever. Some of the problems would be, or at least some of the arguments I've heard is that, okay, you're going to take away funding from public schools that are severely underfunded. I guess that's true. To some extent, you're going to take away some funding. What if we just cut maybe, again, 10% of funding? Can you deal with 90? Can you do 90% next year? Can you do 95%? What if we give a voucher for $500? Just something. Because I feel like you could take it incrementally. You know, do it over time.
Do teachers really get paid that poorly, do you think?
From what I understand, yeah. I don't think they make... I wouldn't be a teacher,
no,
for instance.
No, not for... The risk and the reward is not...
But again, if somebody wants to be a teacher, more power to them. I thank them for what they do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't choose that for myself.
You always get stuff... You always get people who say stuff like, well, you don't do it for the money. Like, social workers... I've heard some nurses say that, but if you're a nurse, you're definitely doing it for the money.
There's some money in nursing, my boy.
Really, anything like in the health department, like. Anyway, that's a whole different thing. But I don't know. I mean, if you're teaching in the right area, like some city schools or whatever, like I know private schools don't teach as or don't pay as much, right? Isn't that a thing?
Oh, I'm assuming that private schools pay their teachers more than the public school average.
I don't from all the teachers I've talked to, I think they normally try to go to like a county school so they can get government pay as opposed to like a private school because they don't get paid nearly as much.
That's something we could look up if we wanted. I'm not too worried about. That's my assumption. So that's just a guess.
People listening to this aren't looking for facts. They're just looking for giggles.
That's our opinions.
You're thinking about getting married soon.
Yes.
Tell me about that. What? I mean, 22. Yeah, you're 22 years old. 23.
You don't even know me. My birthday was last month.
Okay. Well, I assume we're the same-ish age. Mm-hmm. So 23 years old, and you're thinking about spending the rest of your life with one person.
Yes.
What brings you to that decision?
That's a great question.
Have you thought about like
it comes down, I think it comes down to trusting that that person has my back, and that's essentially the core of it, is really just trust.
I guess 23 is young for me, but think about our grandparents who got married at like 15 and 16. Different times, man. I mean, and even like marriages, if you go back farther, marriages weren't even about like love or acceptance or whatever. It's just about like a trade. It was like, oh, I'm going to get a wife who I can make kids for me. But, you know, they're like her family's getting rid of a mouth to feed. So
I'm assuming that was pretty long ago because my guess is that for the past, you know, few generations, it's been you marry someone because you actually want to marry them.
I would say like 1800s is probably like that.
Okay. So we're talking about at least like three generations now, like.
But three generations is not that many generations.
It's not, but I'm just talking about at least the situation I'm in, because I want to marry that person. Obviously. I don't feel obligated.
Well, it's not like, and there's also like an independence now too. So like,
that's what I was gonna. Yeah, that's a really good point. Is I think getting engaged and getting married means you have an obligation to someone else, and I think that in our society nowadays, or at least maybe like the younger generation, doesn't necessarily like obligations. And I kind of am one of them. I'm really bad about obligations. For instance, school is an obligation for me, and I don't do as good of a job as I can. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm part of that. When I speak about like that kind of young mindset, I consider myself part of that. So marriage is an obligation that is sort of difficult. And I think that's why as people, maybe more people get older, more people get married as they get older. And so it is difficult maybe to say, well, imagine you're 16 and getting married. That would be, I think you made a good point saying times have changed. So maybe we're more independent now. So you want to keep your independence for longer.
Yeah.
I kind of lost the train I had there.
Well, my independence thing was about like your family, like you're independent from, like you don't live with your parents. She doesn't live with her parents.
No, that's true.
It's, But you know, it's to a certain extent, it's more about the person and the connection and the emotional, you know, connection that you have. Yeah,
it's that commitment. It's
right, but it's almost like, I don't know. There's almost like a negative quality of like, oh, you're settling down. But it depends on the person, right? Because to you, settling down is a good thing. To someone like me who hasn't really experienced a whole lot, it's like settling down. I don't want to settle down. I haven't experienced stuff yet.
I guess it depends how you define settling.
I guess you're not settling, but you're. Well, you know, you're settling down.
I guess settling down, that's different than settling.
Just to like kind of merge, it's like your finances. It's like every aspect of your life. It's kind of a weird concept because you have been independent, or at least, you know, a singular person. You're not really tied. I guess you're tied to your parents to a certain extent, but
sure. I mean, I guess the rest of your family is always going to be your family, right? If you don't associate with them.
But it's almost like, you know, once you move out, you get kind of like a lesser relationship, and then
sure, you gain independence. I would say,
yeah. Right. So you're kind of giving up your independence almost. I mean, not like a personal independence, but you're giving away your bachelor.
No, you're right. You're right in saying, because ultimately, I guess marriage again is putting someone else above yourself. So you are, in a sense, giving up independence in that way. But I guess I consider it more of like a modification because you are combining. So it's, you're right in that you personally lose independence, but you gain more from it. I think that's why people do it, is my guess at least.
Do you still 3D print at all?
Not really. I have a 3D printer in my closet. And so I stripped it all. I was going to install a new hot
end. Sounds like a horror movie title. No. There's a 3D printer in my closet.
Terrible movie.
It's like a Goosebumps premise. It 3D prints monsters. Ah,
that'd be something.
I would watch it. Whatever.
Goosebumps, dude. It'd
be good.
No, but I have the printer and it's stripped, and I have the new hot end. And there was, I don't know, there's some kind of part that I'm missing. Oh, and that's what it was. The new hot end does not fit onto the existing, like the thing that moves X, Y, and X and Y. axes, and so
such a weird little machine, isn't it?
It's really, I think it's pretty simple once you understand it. It's
neat.
It's just an XYZ plane, mm-hmm. and then it just picks a position. Then you just start laying down a little piece of plastic, and the plastic just melts onto the plastic. You just build little things. I think it's neat. I should fix it. But
what's the craziest thing you've built with your 3D printer?
Craziest thing I started building was like 4 foot dragon or something that I started, but then it's a cheap printer, and so it would kind of mess up, and they call it like spaghettification or something, where
spaghettification,
where something goes wrong, and so it just starts feeding into the air. Oh. And so it's just, I got home, I used to print a lot in our dorm room.
You did,
like a lot of things, like a little Pokemon and
Squirtle,
chess pieces.
Yeah.
You have a thing on your keychain still.
I do. Yeah, it's a little snake.
I was so glad to see, actually. It's still holding up.
Yeah, it's good. There was a couple. I think the original one's broke, but this is like another one of the ones that you like gave me a bunch of your 3D printed stuff. Yeah,
I had a few little boxes full.
You just gave it away. Said, I don't want it. Take it.
But I enjoyed it. It was fun. But I guess it's also kind of a time that's passed in my life. Unless maybe, you know, I'll earn some more money in the future, and then maybe I might buy like a nicer printer to work with that again. Just something, because this one is, I need a special kind of bolt to attach to the machine, and it's really particular, and it's in millimeters, and so it's hard to find it. Like, I haven't found it at any local stores here the right size, and so I'm kind of at a dead end. I guess I could order it online, but I just haven't. I don't know what exactly I need.
I bet that's an expensive part if it's like specific.
Ooh, maybe. I think it's just uncommon. I don't know that it's very expensive, but I just can't find it anywhere. I couldn't even tell your price because I can't find it.
We both have the same mind of like, we want to make money with our hobbies, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Like with this podcast or my YouTube channel, for instance, there's a lot of like dollar signs in my head, like, oh, I could totally monetize this, or I could make a living off this, or whatever. I could do this for money, basically. And that's good for me. That's ultimately my purpose. I'm going to ask you that question here in a minute too. Like, what about your purpose? But, yeah. So what do you think? What is that about our hobbies? We just want it. Like, I know some people who like love to bake, and I'm in my head, it's like, oh, you could make like a bake sale or something. Obviously, baking is just for fun. It's just like a fun thing. But
well, I work with a girl who earns about $100 every week from the cookies she brings into work. They're delicious cookies. She sells them for $1, and they're big.
At the restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with the owners and stuff?
Yeah. They're totally fine with it.
I was like, so
no, just, she's moving a lot of cookies, like $100. So 100 cookies a week, just about.
I probably make, okay, me and my roommate Austin, who's a culinary major, I'll probably have him on at some point.
Yeah.
He and I would like love to make cookies. I guarantee you, we made 100 cookies in 1 week at any given, not any given week, but probably one or two weeks.
That's a lot of cookies.
We were addicted to cookies. It was bad. Chocolate chip. I mean, I don't know what she makes, but that's the best kind of cookie in my opinion.
She makes like M&M, lemon.
Oh, dude, M&M is good. Lemon and peanut butter feel like they're old timey to me, but they're still really good.
Oh, they're tasty.
You can't put down a lemon or a peanut butter cookie. But I would still say modernity, a more modern type cookie. Oh. Like a that's probably the wrong word.
Modern type of cookie. I guess you're not wrong, right?
Modernity.
No, modernity has to be something. That's not
modernity. Modernity sounds like a stupid wizard from a fantasy setting. I am modernity.
Let's see, modernity.
The modern cookies, I say, are better than the old-fashioned.
Wow, no, I'm sorry. Well, you are correct. The quality or condition of being modern.
There you go. Hey,
something new today.
That's a $10 word. That's a full circle.
Ugh, is it?
Modernity. I would say more modern cookies are better, like the M&Ms. Or you know what I don't like, though, and I'll fight anyone about this, is the sugar cookies, like the ones from Walmart, mm-hmm. where they're like, they're bakery cookies. They're like,
I don't think they're good.
Yeah, okay, good. They feel like they're airy, and they feel like they taste like science, they're you know? They taste like someone.
They're kind of gross.
Made them in a lab or something. I mean, they're fine. Like they're sweet. They're good. But so many people are so passionate about those cookies. I cannot stand those cookies. Yeah. Nope. I don't know. I think chocolate chip wins though, for hands down. I mean, what do you
agreed.
Say?
It's the most maybe common or the most known one.
Does that bring it down in points though? You think it's so common?
No, I don't think so. Because I think, well, for instance, you can have a bad chocolate chip cookie. You can also have a really, really good chocolate chip cookie.
You could do it different. Yeah. I went to this Paula Deen restaurant, rest in peace. That
she die?
No, the restaurant died.
Oh my goodness! I was like, when?
She may have died. Butter. I don't. But the butter got her probably. It's gonna age poorly. But her restaurant it was in Mississippi somewhere. It went down because of her whole thing.
Oops.
But like it was I remember it was like, oh, this cookie is like probably the butter content was so much higher than any other cookie I've ever had.
Probably.
And cookies are just half butter anyway. It's butter and
so
sugar.
So tasty. Oh man.
Cookies are great. I actually made cookies probably. A week ago, maybe a week or two ago. I'm in between brownies and cookies. I'm still addicted. So I'll make a baked good every once in a while.
Pivot. What is your, what do you think your purpose is, or what are you passionate about in life?
Thank you for bringing me back.
What are you passionate
here?
About, Will?
I'm passionate about audio content, my friend, and talking, being personable to a mass audience. Which is kind of a bad passion objectively. I mean, I guess not like,
I disagree.
I just say it's bad because there's so many people doing it. Like, if you go on Twitter and type in podcast and go down, there's like, I guarantee you, there's like 10,000 podcasts right now, like just active podcasts. Mm-hmm. And like, it's really not that competitive because they're so different. Like, I was talking to you about Fry Gay the 13th. This is a podcast that I'm friends with on Twitter, and they talk about gay stuff and horror movies, and it's a really niche concept, but that doesn't interfere with my just like comedy or just opinion.
Yeah, it's not a
whatever.
Fixed pie.
Right, yeah. So it doesn't really, I shouldn't say bad, it's just a crowded market.
Sure.
This type of podcast too, like this kind of a comedy, even just like opinion, whatever. I like to say, I talk to interesting people. But,
big
you
compliment.
Know, you got, really it's people who can hold a conversation. Yeah. But there's a comedy layer there too. I think comedy podcast, especially since Joe Rogan's is like the number one podcast ever. Like, I think it's the number one form of media ever or something. I heard
podcasting.
No, Joe Rogan's podcast.
Form of media.
Yeah. Like it's the most consumed form of media from what I understand.
Oh, interesting.
Like, compared to like TV or radio or what have you, which is kind of weird. Cause you think about like sports and like how many people watch like football.
True.
But I don't, that's the thing I heard that's not true. I'll say that. Let's just say it's not, it might not be true.
I think of TV and radio as dead for the most part.
Radio does not. Okay. Yeah. Radio to a certain degree. I mean, like people still listen to it. Like old people listen to it. Once old people quit listening to it because they are not here anymore, radio will have a really bad time. And I think to a certain extent, television is the same way. I talked about this with my guest last week. Netflix and internet
streaming is a thing.
Is the word.
Yeah.
It's killing, and people say like, oh, well, again, like media doesn't really die. Like the newspaper still has a place, right? I mean, like no one really reads the newspaper.
Agreed.
Like,
I agree. It
our
has
age.
A place. Yeah.
Anyway, the place is, packing boxes, using newspaper to pack the boxes.
I think it has a role. It's media.
It's old media. It used to be like you would reread the newspaper over and over, like,
yeah,
oh yeah, this is like a story that's happening, and the news used to not be as like current too, but now the news is just like
instant, right?
Yeah, it's instant and it's kind of throwaway news, so you can just read it and okay, done. What's your purpose on it?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I bet 90% of the audience doesn't know their purpose.
Well, I agree. I bet it's 99%. Actually, that's my purpose, is trying to argue. No, that's not true.
Like to argue,
I like, and I like phrasing it as just debating. And I just, if someone has a position or an opinion, if someone says, I hate so-and-so or whatever, I just want you to tell me why. I want you to substantiate your argument and don't be mad at me for asking.
Yes.
Because if you are, and it's okay. I mean, it's go on. We don't need to talk. But
I think I'm the same kind of way. Like I want to know why someone thinks something, but I'm not trying to debate them and like argue them. And it's because to me, argument and debate, we can talk about. I want to talk about this. It's going to turn into a debate, probably.
Maybe.
But argument and debate almost seems confrontational, and I think people kind of shut down when they feel conflict. And I've, not necessarily like I'm lying to them or like I'm misleading them or whatever. Like I will never say like, oh, I agree with that and I don't actually agree with that, but I won't try to fight them on their position. I think that's a way to get them to quit talking. Is if
that is true. Anyway. And I think that's where we differ, is because my approach is, I guess I go into it assuming I am right, but I'm open to listening to other opinions and modifying my own through that. But I think it's I guess kind of important. I assume I'm right, and that's why I want to continue. If someone says something I disagree with, and I think I have the reasoning worked out so that I can maybe convince them or at least prove that what you said might be wrong. Maybe I'm not completely right. Maybe we can find a middle ground. Mm-hmm. But I like pointing out flaws because I think it's how you make something better is you talk about it and you figure it out and then you come to a better resolution because of it.
For the most part, we think about debate now and it's kind of a different thing. But yeah, I think the exchange of ideas mm-hmm. is basically Absolutely. What's important to both of us. Let me float this idea to you too. I think the other day with Hunter, I was saying my purpose is to make money doing something I love, right? And that's kind of it's kind of a situational purpose, right? Like I'm feeling that because I don't really make much money at my current mm-hmm. job. I want it to mean something ultimately. I want it to be like a meaningful thing. What do you think that that's a like? What do you think about that? Basically, you're making money from something you love doing.
That's all good and dandy. What it sounded like, what you said was, it's a temporary purpose, and that's probably right. But I'm thinking like you can have more lifelong purpose. You can have long term purpose maybe as opposed to short term purpose.
And that I don't know. And we're the same there, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say my short term is kind of the same where I'd like to make money. I want to make something that I can build or invest in, and then it can give me money passively. That's mm-hmm. the goal.
You do like to do like the stock market and silver. You like to collect coins.
It's less collecting coins, more just bullion, more just like just pure silver. So right. yeah, and even that's not really an investment. That is just.
You gave me a coin for when I graduated college, and I was like, oh, so cool.
I mean, you know, maybe it'll be worth something more in about
sure.
2 years, maybe 10 years. I don't know.
But that's like a thing. You give coins to people now.
Yeah, I guess I do. I gave one to Nicholas as well.
Yeah. Our friend Nicholas on his birthday.
I guess I like the idea. I like having silver coins, and so I guess I want to also share that.
I get that.
I think it's interesting.
It's weird. Like normal people, I say normal people, most people probably don't think about silver as like being like a precious resource, right? Like you just think about it being like it's like a metal or whatever.
Well, it is a commodity. And that's why I'm hesitant to say that, oh, I invest in silver because really it's a commodity. So I plan on selling it one day. So it's not something I'm going to buy and hold. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not true. I'm holding it for a long time, I guess. It depends on what the market does, really.
Right.
And then, there's something else I'm passionate about is economics and trying to figure out maybe what's the best thing to do. What's the most...
It's hard.
I want to respect people's individual rights and I want to build an economy around that, essentially. I don't know. That's so broad.
Is that... You think that's likely?
Not under a two-party system. Not really. No.
That's not... That's not, but...
What? No politics?
No, but I get what you're saying.
Oh, we'll have to do a politics short, Will.
Maybe.
I think we were talking about trying to figure out what you're passionate and whatnot. I think it's important to at least start to think about it because I guess I've thought about it for a long time and I haven't figured it out. I don't know if I'm any closer to figuring it out. That's not true. I do feel maybe a step closer to figuring it out, but I think you kind of, it's a whole life process. I don't think you ever say, this is my thing and I'm done. You know what I mean? You're never really finished learning.
Right. It should almost be general, like broad, because if you're a company and you have a mission statement, it's not like, we want to give socks to people in Nebraska. You know, it's never like that. It's always like if you read Starbucks' mission statement, it's like
specific or no
general. It's like, we want to provide happiness and kindness to people of different races. And
well, that's fair. Like I think all these things. And it's different when you talk about a company goals and like individual goals. I think as an individual, it's important to have specific things you want to do. I heard this quote of like, you always overestimate what you can get done in a day, but you underestimate what you can finish in a year. Because if you actually did something for 365 days consistently, you would probably be relatively good at it. And you have the ability, you can, you just have to actually do it.
That's interesting too. And like, that kind of made me think of weight loss. Like if you work out like hard every day and eat good, you know, every day, you'll lose weight. That's how it works.
If you want to.
You need to. It's the thing about like, it's your own, and like, it's easy to not do it. So you don't, and your brain tells you like, okay, like not even like, you know, like your brain's talking to you, but it's subconsciously you're like, well, it's easier not to do it. It's easier just to keep sitting here.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to read you the mission statement of Starbucks. To inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup in one neighborhood at a time.
I don't like it. But, you know, again, more power to them. That's what they want to do.
I hate Starbucks. I hate their coffee. I don't drink coffee, so that's part of it. I shouldn't say I hate them because whatever. I mean, like, I'm actually, like, you know, I respect their business model of, like, every 2 minutes you'll see a Starbucks or whatever. I don't think they have good food or drinks. I mean,
that's fair.
Just, you know, generally, I don't really drink coffee, so I'm not a coffee guy. Obviously, that's me being biased towards Starbucks. I just don't like the fact that everything's, like, super overpriced, and they have this, like, stupid mission statement about, it's just fake. It's all fake. They want your money. They don't want to inspire. They want your money, bro.
They might be legitimate. I'm sure there's someone who works for Starbucks who legitimately believes in that mission statement.
If they wanted to inspire you, they would give it for free, right? I mean, that's the thing.
Well, it's not a very good business.
It's not a good business.
They're not going to make any money.
I'm saying their mission statement's wrong. That's not the real mission statement, obviously. Anyway, that's our time. Do you want to promote anything or you know, follow you on Twitter?
I would promote looking into, like, Jordan Peterson. I know he's somewhat of a controversial speaker, but I think he has
promote someone else.
He has a lot of good things to say. Come on, Will.
He's great.
He has a lot of good things to say. I shouldn't be doing
you're leaning back. Yeah.
So I would promote Jordan Peterson just in saying that some of the things he has to say is worth listening to. Maybe not everything, but you can decide for yourself. That's the best part.
Sure. And I think if you listen to him, you know that. I think the people who don't listen to him don't want to be educated. Like, a lot of the people who hate Jordan Peterson call him, like, a Nazi or whatever, like a, you know, a fascist. They'll say that, but, like, they don't ever listen to him talk.
Probably not.
Anyway, so yeah, that's so that.
And then also, lastly, working on your own goals, which I'm saying this more for myself, but
sure, yeah,
trying to set a goal for myself and actually do it. That's, I feel like once you get that figured out,
I kind of think goals,
your life gets easier.
I kind of think goals don't work for me. We can talk about that maybe on the next episode that you're on.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for being on, Honored.
Well, thank you very much, Will.
Hey, thanks again to Honored for stopping by. Even though I did have to cut out about 30 minutes of political content, still love him. Still a good episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you've enjoyed yourself, please consider rating or reviewing the podcast. You can also follow the podcast on some certain sites. I don't know what you're into, but thank you for listening, wherever you're listening at. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at MalVanilla. I really haven't set up an Instagram or Facebook or anything, so don't worry about those dumb social medias. Just go follow the Twitter. It's free, just like this podcast is free. I'm not going to charge you. I don't want your money. I just want your love and your acceptance. Thank you. Have a mild day.